Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
That was Patriots wide receiver Mac Hollins on Good Morning Football. He's on the team, and he has no new teammates as of 4:04 on trade deadline day, because the Patriots, as we like to say, stood pat and did nothing. Now, they didn't deal away Anthony Jennings, who was the latest we'd heard was on the trade block. So,
wow.
Essentially, Fitzy, I guess Anthony Jennings is sort of your third edge player, because we were all wondering, could they add some depth on the edge behind Kalyvon Chaisson and Harold Landry? They did not. There were dreams of Breece Hall. There were dreams of wide receivers and tackles. And whatever your dream was, it went unfulfilled, because the Patriots, all they did at the trade deadline was trade away Kyle Duggar and trade away Keon White. So I know, Fitzy, you love the phrase, we all we got, we all we need, apparently.
Yeah, well, apparently they all they got, they all they need, because that's who they got. I'm sorry. I'm not going to back down from the fact that this is a disappointment. This is a borderline significant disappointment. I know they're ahead of schedule. I know they're building for a future that looks brighter and rosier and sunnier and grander by the day, by the game, by the Drake May stat of the week. But when you have a chance to seize control of the AFC without mortgaging too much of your future, like, you're as good as Buffalo. You might be better than the Chiefs. There's no team in the AFC that can lay claim to being significantly better than you that it's not worth maybe making one or two trades to go for it. Sorry.
Fitzy hates like it. How do you feel about it? 617-779-7937. Are you disappointed, Ted?
I don't know. Go for it. Like, what kind of player are you expecting to get a Sauce Gardner back, Fitzy?
No, I'm not looking. I'm not looking for Micah Parsons or Sauce Gardner.
So, I mean, if you're looking for somebody, you know, a third guy or some depth piece, is that really being aggressive and putting this team over the top if they bring in some guy at a position that you've never heard of?
Well, Ted, I think we have been banging on the drum, all of us in lockstep, since August, saying that depth is a significant concern on this team. And you don't have a lot of safety. As a matter of fact, you've dumped as many of them as you possibly could overboard for 6-round picks and sending 7th-rounders back. You don't have very much in terms of edge rushers. You sent one of them out of town just because you thought he was a Belichick-faced pain in the ass. They're a little thin. It's crazy to think the Patriots actually got thinner in terms of depth now at the trading deadline. Like, maybe the Giardi report is true, and the Tennessee Titans don't want to deal with him because Amy Adams Strunk is still all up in her feels and clutching pearls over the way Vrabel behaved himself. Yeah. But like, they had pieces that they could have vultured for modest trade offerings. Just some running back, edge rusher, another safety, something just in case.
There was only 17 trades made at this trade deadline. 17. Mm-hmm. There's 32 teams.
Cue the winger song.
I mean, that's just not. People just think that, you know, their trades happen all the time. No, they don't. This rarely happens at this point. So I was a little bit surprised that everybody was all geeked up, because it just rarely. I mean, 12 to 15 on average trades are made at the trade deadline every year in the NFL. So it's just the chances of your team being one of the teams is the chances are very low.
Yes, Dimble.
Our guy Adam Schefter, who joins tomorrow, says third most trades made on deadline day since 1990. So even if it didn't feel like a lot, statistically speaking, it is a lot
yeah.
today.
It was 17, so the average is around 12 to 15. So, yeah, it's more than it usually is.
And that's just for today, right? That doesn't include the Patriots.
Yeah, that was six trades on deadline day itself.
Okay, perfect. 617-779-7937. A reminder that about 20 minutes from now, we'll talk to Brian Hoyer, former Patriots quarterback, about Drake May, the sacks, the pressures, the game, everything that went into last week, what he's facing against Mayfield this week. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to Ted's guy, Paulie in Dedham. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, it looks to me as if, you know, the New England Patriots are now like the Seattle Seahawks of the AFC. And nobody's going to be in a hurry to help them. You know, we got a couple of guys and teams that are really on the move. People are going to want to come here anyway next year. You're going to see a lot in the free agent market, I'll tell you that, next year. But right now, they want to make us pay an arm and a leg. They want to try to cut us off at the knees by taking as many draft picks as we can. If they can, if we let them, Jim Brable just hold it. He's standing fat because of that. And the report earlier in the day was that the prices are high throughout the league, but especially for teams like the Pats that are on the way up.
Thanks for the call, Paulie. Do we think that's it?
What?
That nobody wants to give the Patriots quote unquote a deal.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Because why? Because they're the Patriots?
I guess that was Paulie's theory.
An ascending power, like, oh no, I don't want to help the Patriots get good, if not better, again. Okay.
Maybe I mean, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. You're a bad general manager. If you could have helped your team, improve your team, then you're a dumbass for not trading with the Patriots. But, I will say this, there's the best point Paulie made right there was basically, this is going to be an attractive place to come to.
Yep.
This used to be the Patriots for the last 5 years, at least until, 2020 on, have been what the Buffalo Bills used to be back in the day when they would, do you remember one off season they had Mario Williams, the pass rusher from the Texans,
yep,
go up there and visit? And the word was they wouldn't let him go. Like they kept him over a day over in Buffalo. Well, they gave him like $100 million in something absurd. He's basically forced to sign it because he's like, no one team's ever going to give me this much money. That was where the Patriots were. They were going to have to blow teams. They're going to have to blow, spend a ton of money to get any free agents to come here because nobody was going to want to come here. But that's not the case anymore. You have a quarterback. You have a coach. Now this is going to be an attractive place. You don't have to overpay like the Buffalo Bills did with Mario Williams. I like that point that Paulie was making. So, would you rather be – what are the Colts fans? Are they happy that they went all in on Sauce Gardner? Are they sitting there going, dude, you just gave up two first-rounders?
Oh, no, right now I think you're on that high. You got to be on that initial high. Later, they might be more the fall, the after
when
the high.
Yeah, with the next year's draft, when they go to it and they go, oh, we don't pick until 65? Okay, yeah. We don't get a first-rounder?
But they're going – hey, good for them. They're going for it. Yeah, they might miss out on some stuff. You got to make it count, of course, and maybe Sauce Gardner returns to form because he leaves the toxic minefield of North Jersey for the dairy-laden winning of the Lucas Oil Field. And, Ted, I just want to make a point about the Buffalo Bills, if I may, sir. It's funny you mentioned the Buffalo Bills and the suck tax they had to pay regarding players like Mario Williams, because to me, right now, with what the Patriots did in their inactivity at the trade deadline, that sets them up potentially right now to be the Buffalo Bills. That's right. They can be a team that constantly goes to the divisional round or maybe to the AFC championship, but just doesn't have enough to clear that hurdle, get over the top, and get back to the championship game. So if you want to, be perennial contenders, that's great. But like in a year like this where it's wide open for anywhere between 8 and 12 teams, I'd spend a little equity and borrow a little bit from tomorrow to get after today.
But they're going to get free agents. They're going to have more free agents that are going to want to come here now that Drake May is cooking and Mike is here. I don't agree with that. I don't. I'll say it'll be interesting to see how the Colts have a first year head coach in Shane Steichen.
Third.
No.
Third year. He's not a first year.
Why am
I thinking? But still, it's a kind of an interesting case study. And okay, they're going all in at with their same record the Patriots have. The Patriots decided not to be as aggressive. Who ends up, making the right decision at the end of the day?
And
first year owner.
Yeah, that I think is a wild card, Fitzy. I don't know what role that played, but the Ursay's daughter, who's been very active, front-facing, sideline, that had to play a role, right, Fitzy?
Oh, yeah. No, Andy, have you seen the new meme? It's the photo of her, and it says blank them pics with her headphones on the side. Good.
So I got
to think. Good for them. They made a choice. I don't necessarily support it, but good for them. They made a choice.
Ted, I agree with you that this is going to be a destination. We've talked about that even going back to last year, starting that process with Drake May, the highlight throws, the plays. Oh, they got one of them quarterbacks up in New England kind of thing.
You said that last year after the Titans game, Andy.
Yep.
You said he just made the play that's going to make this a destination eventually.
I called them recruitment videos back at the time. They were just highlights that you might show opposing players like this guy can be your quarterback, and you have that no matter what, right? I mean, there's no way this season peters out to the point where you end up with a losing record. You're going to win a few more games. You're going to end up with at worst case scenario, let's say 11 wins, right? So you're going to be an 11-6 team. That's on the upswing. You have that no matter what. The thing I would say, and I've said this all along, I think the Washington Commanders this year are the cautionary tale for the Patriots. Don't assume you're going to be good next year. Don't assume Drake May is going to have a great year next year. Like, I think the Commanders were really happy to go to the NFC title game, and then they were like, well, we're going to add to this. We're going to bring in Debo and Laremee Tunsil and, you know, Dietrich Wise, John, like, and that'll put us over the top. And then you were a little snake bitten, right? Mm-hmm. He's gotten hurt. He's missed time.
They brought in a lot of
games.
Old veterans. You know.
Right, but they did so assuming they were going to be in the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, because they got aging veterans that they brought in last year that were good last year, but they aged out. I mean,
so you think the Patriots are in the playoffs no matter what next year?
I do.
Yeah, see, I don't. I think there's a chance they have a regression. I think
why?
We've seen, because I think it's very common with these young quarterback rebuilds.
Okay.
I think Houston had a regression. Now, they made the playoffs the second year, but they weren't as good. It got the offensive coordinator fired. The Commanders are probably going to miss the playoffs. They've had to play Mariota a couple times.
Not probably.
I don't think so. The Jets are going to suck next year. Miami's going to suck next year. I think there's no reason to think the free agents they brought in are young. You know, they're not old guys at the end of their careers. Like the Washington Commanders brought in?
Well, they have some. I mean, Moses could get old. Diggs could get old. Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper could get old.
Yeah.
Even Carlton Davis could probably get old. So there's guys on this roster that next year could take a negative step. But it almost isn't.
The Commanders are one of the oldest rosters in the NFL right now. The Patriots are the fourth youngest.
Mm-hmm. So you think that guarantees evolution progression?
I think that's a big reason for them repeating, yeah.
Vrabel must agree because he's treating this like a multi-step, step-by-step, up the ladder before we get to the top of the mountain. We're not going to rush it. Whereas the Colts clearly said, we don't know if Daniel Jones will be good next year. We better strike while the iron's hot down here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Justin in D.C. What's up, Justin?
Yeah, Commanders are going to miss the playoffs. I just sold off all my season tickets after that Jaden Daniels injury and bought some Ravens pass tickets.
There you go.
But ooh, Teddy, I can't wait to go see the team that I actually like. But, Teddy, a couple things you said. So, first off, with the free agency, this isn't free agency of 5 years ago or when you were playing because premier players at premier positions just don't get to free agency. So the Patriots may be a destination for Stephon Diggs type who are coming off of injuries or Calvin Ridley and Hopkins who are washed. But those are the type of receivers that you're going to be looking at in free agency, for example. The other thing you said that really stuck with me and struck me with a bunch of fear, Teddy, is you said Mike Vrabel's making a decision at this deadline out of defense, out of job preservation, job security. Quite frankly, there's a saying, half measures availed us nothing. But furthermore, that is weak, pathetic, loser behavior because that means he's beholden to groupthink. And I think it marries up with what Fitzy just said. If you're not a winner, if you're not a killer, if you're not willing to be a leader and buck the trend, then sure, you may continue to make the playoffs, but you're never going to win a Super Bowl here in New England or anywhere else. So I think the lack of moves here, yes, the Patriots are 100% going to miss the playoffs as the schedule gets harder next year. But the most concerning thing is Mike Vrabel's lack of killer instinct.
Thanks for the call, Justin.
Losers.
I you know what?
Wow.
I'm not sure Mike is the one that decides that stuff. You know, I don't think Mike.
The trade deadline?
Yeah, I don't know if he says, you know, yeah, I want to make a trade for this guy and I want to give up future draft picks. You think that you don't think that goes to the Kraft? You don't think Elliott Wolf is involved in that? You think that's all Mike?
I think it's mostly
Mike. I thought
Wolf
didn't have any power.
Yeah, I think it's mostly Mike. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can put that on Wolf. Now, first round picks, I don't know where that line is. I'm sure Robert gets involved.
Oh, I think Jonathan's very involved.
So, like, if they wanted to trade a fourth round pick for Jakobi Meyers, you think they have to run that by ownership, for example?
I would hope maybe not that one.
Okay. So, I think probably day one, maybe early day two picks. Are you guys sign off on this kind of thing? But a lot of these moves, both wide receivers, Fitzy, we talked about it, basically went for fourth and sixth round picks, something like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we weren't necessarily saying A.J. Brown for a first round pick or, you know, Hendrickson didn't end up getting moved. He was supposedly they were asking for a first round pick in Cincinnati and didn't end up getting moved. I think a lot of people had lowered their expectations to, you know, a fourth round pick for something, a hooker or whatever, the safety, not a person. Yes, Fitzy. So, like,
that's Minka where Fitzpatrick, I think, that was one we were talking
Minka
about.
Minka Fitzpatrick,
maybe.
Perfect.
Would have been a perfect Patriot. Somebody who's got veteran experience, can play a little corner and safety as well. Good tackler. Obviously, Miami knows, like, well, what the hell do I want to, why would I want to try to make them better? And I'm trading him in the division, so I'm going to raise the price tag. But even teams like Cincinnati or Tennessee that are just in dire straits right now, if they're holding out for really, really exorbitant price tags, they're the fools as much as maybe the Patriots may regret not making moves at the deadline because, okay, great, you'll get Trey Hendrickson for a season. You can finish 6-11 at best. Then he's going to walk, and you might get a compensatory pick, but you could have easily gotten a high third or a low second from a team desperate for pass rush help.
And as Paulie alluded to, Tom Curran did say on Jones and Keefe that he was told that the prices are very high at this trade deadline, or were very high heading into this trade deadline. So that may be true. We did see first round picks get thrown about a little bit, and those are indeed high prices. And so the Patriots didn't end up doing anything. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mason in Newport. What's up, Mason?
Hey, guys. Just want to say, I know the Patriots didn't make any moves at the deadline, but do you think if they are an early exit in the playoffs, do you think that they might try to get a guy like Myles Garrett? They might have used the draft capital to do something rather than just try to see what happens for the rest of the year?
Thanks for the call, Mason. If they are an early exit from the playoff, is that the question? Yeah, I mean, that might be motivation. We'll see how it goes. But no, I think Vrabel, you talk about consistent messaging, Ted. He's been very consistent on this topic. We'll look at every player at every position, and you know, if he can make the team better. He went on the whole discussion yesterday. Practice squad, we look at those guys. If they're in the league, we consider the trades. If they're out of the league, are they better than what we have?
I think regardless of what happens, there's going to be a feeling this offseason that there's going to be pressure to spend to get guys. And so I just feel like there's a little bit of hesitancy to make a big deal in the middle of the season, bringing a new guy in that you haven't really been around, that you haven't been able to do a physical with, that you know that you don't know what kind of shape they're in, to bring them in and to give up draft equity for an unknown commodity. I think it's just riskier for a team that has young coaches on it for the first year as opposed to doing it in the offseason after you've already had a successful season. I just think it's just the mindset of it is just that's where they're at. They're not going to make a big deal right now.
And I think something that'll fuel that, Fitzy, is the thing we always hear. The best deal in all of sports is a quarterback on his rookie contract. And heading into his third season with your cap space, people will be like, okay, load up now before you have to give him $60, $70 million a year. Because that's on the horizon, right? That'll be the talk at some point with him. So,
is it that third round pick? You know, is it the Laden Robinson? Is it Kyle Williams that you couldn't have lived without maybe to try to get after it this year and maybe even still hold on to that player going forward? Ted, if you'd have traded a third round pick for Breece Hall, guess who has first crack at trying to sign Breece Hall, especially if he likes it around here and learns to love Drake May? Just saying.
Yeah, but the one thing is, and Ted, you kind of touched on this earlier.
I'd have been okay with it, guys. I'm not saying I'm against it.
Oh, you loved the idea of a running back or Breece Hall, whatever.
Yeah.
But you can't be proven wrong in a weird way. Like, you can't prove, if they lose in the first round, you can't prove that whatever was on the table today for a trade would have made you win that game. You know what I mean? We don't have that information at our disposal when we're criticizing them the Monday after that loss.
We don't know, right? We don't know how many offers they made and people rejected it. You're right. So we're mad at them. They didn't do anything, but I wouldn't want them to do anything at all costs.
Right. And there's also the possibility, Fitzy, there's no saying they can't go on a run. I was talking about before today's lack of activity at the trade deadline, could they beat almost anybody in the AFC? And the answer is yes. So what if they go on a Super Bowl run? Are we going to say, whoo, good thing they didn't make a trade because they could have screwed that up. They could have upset the apple cart. They could have ruined the vibes, Fitzy, right?
Or what if they go on an AFC championship run and they're just one extra edge rusher, depth corner, or offensive spark plug away from clearing that hurdle and making way to Santa Clara, Killers?
We'll hammer them then, just like we did the Red Sox when they got bounced after the first round.
Then it'll be called content, and it's good for us either way, because that will be content for WEEI Afternoons. Up next, you're going to hear Dan Ball with a interesting trending note on Trevor Story. Ted Johnson predicted it. He was right. We are also going to be talking to our guy Brian Hoyer. He'll give his latest update on just how great or not great Drake May is. Do those issues from Sunday worry Brian Hoyer? We'll find out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Next, 4:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. That means we go to the guest line where we're going to talk to former Patriots quarterback and noted country music fan Brian Hoyer. Mr. Hoyer, how are we doing this
week? What's
up, Brian? I'm good. What's up, guys?
Did you send the clip of you and I making up to your dad so he doesn't hate me anymore?
Mm. No.
All I got was a text message that said, Andy Hart, ha ha. So he must have heard it somehow.
Oh, perfect. See, we're on good footing with Mr. Hoyer now.
If you say so.
Hey, just so you know, Andy, my dad's a big dude, 6'6", like 285. So you're messing with the wrong Hoyer when you get to that point.
Nope,
so.
I will not be messing with that Hoyer. I don't want the horns. I'll be running.
Yep. Smart.
So, Brian, we were just talking about it. 4 o'clock came and went, and there were no trades from the for the Patriots. They had those two previous deals where they sent a couple guys away. Were you surprised, disappointed? You know, what was your reaction to that for a 7-2 team that's in first place in the division?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of my first go-around where I'm like kind of like fan mode slash media mode for a team that is showing a lot of promise. And part of me was like, you know, you're seeing these big blockbuster trades get done. I'm like, man, I hope the Patriots do something. But I think, you know, sometimes what you don't do is sometimes just as important as what you do do. And I think what this tells me is Vrabel really loves the team that he has. They're playing as a unit. Could you have added a player here or two that maybe could have some impact? Sure. But what is that? What's that message send to your team when you're trying to convey that you believe in them, they're playing together? And, you know, sometimes adding a guy you think could help, but also it could alter that locker room a little bit. So, also, I think when you look at it around the league, a lot of the teams that we're selling were within the division. So, you know, they're going to ask for a premium price for the Patriots. And clearly the owner in Tennessee's feelings are still hurt with Vrabel because there was the report she didn't want to have anyone traded here either.
Yeah, Brian, it's, you know, I'm kind of with you. I'm not too worked up about it. I feel like you do. Kind of, you know, you bring in the guy to a, you know, a system that everyone's kind of been, you know, firing on all cylinders. You know, what's that do to the dynamic? But anyway, I want to talk to you about Drake May in this past game. I thought the Falcons had an interesting game plan. They blitzed them 55% of the time, Brian. It's a lot of those five-man rush. It was that crush rush and in those twists. And so he really didn't have a lot of lanes to run through. I'm curious what your thoughts are on all the sacks. You know, 34 sacks, second most in the league. What's going on with the sacks? Or is he not, you know, pulling the trigger fast enough? Is Josh not giving him quicker solutions? What is going on with him holding the ball as long as he has and giving up? Because I put a lot of the sacks on him. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. There was a few where I was watching, especially the coach's tape, where he's ready to pull the trigger. I don't know if, you know, the coverage was something different, but, you know, he's ready to throw to the first read. It's not there. You see him double clutch. He goes to move. And they did a good job. You're right, Ted. They didn't give him a lot of lanes to be able to step up and throw. And now there was other plays where it was beautiful protection. The one he stepped up on third down and hit a sail route to Diggs, I believe, on the right-hand side of the field. It was incredible. And so it's just hit or miss a little bit at this point. I think some of it has to do, you mentioned those TE stunts and games. You know, I think whether it's the rookies on the left or the veterans on the right, they're still not on the same level where they have to pass those things off. And so I know, you know, one of the sacks happened on a TE. I think that was the strip sack, actually.
Yep, it was.
And so it just it comes together more as you go through it. And ultimately, like you know, Ted, this is a copycat league, and they're going to get tested on this every week from here on out until they prove that they can handle those TEs.
So, Brian, back to the trade deadline. I know you said sometimes the best move is the one that you don't make, but sort of, you know, Ted can speak to this and you can speak to this, especially with the number of teams you have experience with over the course of your career. How does that locker room handle it? You know, sometimes there's that, hey, that's a vote of confidence in us. versus like, oh man, I really wish we could have got next. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just could you explain further some of those swirling dynamics that could take place in a locker room following an active, or in this case, inactive deadline?
No, I think you're right. I think the guys in the locker room, you know, you walk around on trade deadline, whether you're, you know, not that obviously the guys at the Patriots traded was a little bit ahead of that, but like, you know, you're kind of walking around, checking your phone, what's going on. And I think at the end of the day, the players are going to look around and say, look, this coaching staff, the front office, they believe in what we have in this locker room. And I think that brings those guys closer together. Now, I don't think that anyone was going to be discouraged if they were able to pull off a trade for a Breece Hall, you know, with Gibson out, with Mondre having turf toe. Like, that was probably the one position I thought maybe you could add a little depth. And when you look at a guy like Breece Hall, only 24 years old, I think we would have loved to see that. But, you know, it's in, within the division, and they weren't able to do it. So I think you got to go with what you have going forward, and I think it just brings that locker room even closer together than what they seem to be already.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, I wanted to get your take on something Ted brought up earlier that we've been discussing all year long, is this week-to-week different leader in the receiving core, different top target, most receptions. And, you know, we think of so many teams that have a Jamar Chase or a Justin Jefferson or a number one, and you know that guy's getting 10 or 12 targets. But what are your thoughts on how Josh McDaniels, Drake may have done this with sort of a different guy every week?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I think it's, to me, it just keeps echoing what I see when I watch Drake play, is he's got a really good understanding of what the why of the play is, what Josh is designing those plays for, and then reading out the coverage and getting to the guy who's open the majority of the time. I mean, look, you know, people I saw on social media were kind of like, oh, he didn't play that well. That was, I mean, if that's what his down game is going to be, the Patriots are going to be in a great spot, because, you know, throw two touchdowns, the interception, he and Hunter Henry not on the same page. And, you know, obviously he's got to do a better job of protecting the ball in the pocket. But if that's what you're going to get out of Drake May on an off day, like, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. And so to me, it just goes to show, like, when the play's called and the defense declares what it is and he understands what the play is designed for, he's getting to the right guy. So, you know, last week it's Pop Douglas, especially with Booty out, he becomes kind of the deeper threat. And so we saw it a few weeks ago with Mac Hollins being the go-to guy off some of these play action passes. And ultimately what it is just letting the game come to him instead of trying to force it. And I think for a kid who's only 23 years old to be doing that at this young of an age, it shows a lot of maturity, and it shows that he's taking the coaching and then executing it on the field.
Okay, Brian, I want to talk about DeMario Douglas, who was kind of, you know, in favor early and then wasn't. I mean, his snap counts went way down, but in this past game, four catches for 100 yards, 25 per, and you go, okay, well, this guy I thought was going to be the slot short to intermediate guy. And you're starting to wonder, you know, the last couple of games, it's like he looks like the big play guy. I mean, they were creative when they used him for that touchdown, using him as almost like the running back out of the backfield.
Yeah.
So he didn't get, you know, they motioned him to I forget, it was like almost like a comeback, a deep comeback, but motioned to it so he didn't get touched. They're finding ways to get him into the routes fast. Is he kind of the new deep threat? And are they finding creative ways to get him open faster down the field?
Yeah, they've done a good job of really, you know, allowing him to be himself. I never really thought Pop was going to be the traditional slot receiver that we saw from Edelman or Amendola. That just based on what I saw him play the last few years here, he's more of a, you said it, look, he's not the biggest guy, but he's more of a vertical threat, whether it's the deep crossing routes, whether it's some of those comeback routes. He's very twitchy in and out of those routes. And so I think, you know, they're figuring out a way to use him. I loved the Josh McDaniels special. They line up in 21 personnel.
Yep.
You know, the defense thinks they're going to come up in the I formation. All of a sudden, the fullback's out wide, the tight end's in the slot, Pop's in the backfield, and they alerted to that play. So they clearly knew, you know, getting to that personnel, what they were going to get, and it's a beautiful touchdown with him out of the backfield. And so I think you're seeing Josh McDaniels figure out a way to use Pop in a non-traditional slot role, because that's just not what the slot, you know, the slot role, when it comes to my mind of this Patriots offense, is Edelman running the juke routes or running those option routes. That's not what Pop Douglas's game is about. It's about getting vertical into the defense and using his speed and twitchiness, and they've allowed him to do that. I mean, even earlier in the game, they tried to go that deep shot where he sells the flag and goes all the way back across the field. He's got the legs, and obviously he's not the biggest, but sometimes you just got to be the fastest.
Very active week for you on social media, Brian. someone's star is on the rise because he's getting after it, engaging. I see you're popping up everywhere. But I think you were most active discussing, or rather defending, the wall a little bit over the micro scandal that wasn't Clapgate.
Right. I'm looking at his tweet now. You're right.
Yeah, okay. Tweets. Like I love how. Welcome to our side, Bell. The beer. Help yourself to the cooler.
Yeah, it
kind of goes with the job. But I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the film. I'm like, clapping. First of all, you know, in the NFL, the quarterback, the only way the quarterback's ever going to clap is when he's away, it's on the silent cadence, and the time's running down, and the center's not paying attention, the guard's not paying attention. Yeah. And when you start clapping, that means I want the ball now. And I'm looking, I'm like, all right, D-line, no one's clapping. Linebackers, no one's clapping. And then I see Jalen Hawkins, and he's trying to get the attention of the corner because they're going from two by two to three by one. And obviously that changes, you know, their coverage calls. And someone tried to tell me that that's what the center heard with all of the fans cheering. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous that sometimes you just got to call it out.
Well, you know, real quick, sorry, Andy. I mean, for Pittix to just throw the ball, like, it just was a brain fart, right? I mean, he just didn't realize what he just did. And I mean, that mm-hmm. was, that essentially ended the play. Like, any thoughts on how Pittix handled that play?
Yeah, look, I've been in that situation before. I think every quarterback who's ever played has gotten the snap before they expected it. And ultimately, you know, number one rule is don't make a bad play worse. Right. And that's what he did. I mean, all you got to, like, scramble, throw it at a tight end's feet, do something. But he was so caught off guard by the ball being snapped. It was like he thought it was like a false start or something. I don't know. And so, you know, that's not something you plan for, but you hope that you have the right reaction.
Brian, real quick before we let you go, you feel like the Patriots, Drake May, are they ready for this spot? Because this is a big game in Tampa on Sunday.
Yeah, I like their chances. I really do. I think I don't know if Godwin's going to play. Obviously, Mike Evans is out, so that kind of limits their receiving core. I would love to see Christian Gonzalez just match up with Igbuka the whole day and just lock him down, you know, force them to throw the ball elsewhere. Don't let him beat you. Try to contain Baker in the pocket. Now, ultimately, I think the Patriots offense against this Bucs defense, Josh has gone against Todd Bowles a lot. Todd Bowles is a very aggressive defensive play caller. He's going to test you early. If you can handle the blitz, there's going to be some chances to expose them down the field if you could pick that blitz up. So I expect Thursday to be a huge week for the Patriots. That's when they do, you know, blitz pickup and third down. If they can nail that, I think Drake May has a chance of having a really big game.
Love it. Hopefully that's what we're talking about next week. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Brian.
All right,
Brian.
Thanks, guys.
See you, man.
Thanks, Brian. That's Brian Hoyer, former Patriots quarterback. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, I got to call somebody out, and that would be me. I just realized I'm being an inconsistent fraud as it comes to the NFL trade deadline. I'll explain why I'm an inconsistent fraud next on WEEI Afternoons.
And Ted, as you would know, like...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Ted Johnson, you want to tell us what we just heard?
That's what the Patriots players were saying to Vrabel when he thought about bringing the guy in. No, we're a family. We don't want any outsiders. We're a family.
We're a family that got rid of two guys before the trade.
They did.
We uninvited a couple of people to Thanksgiving, but yeah, we're a family.
They're from the old family. You know, we got a new family we're working on.
We've all done it, Fitzy. We've uninvited some people to sometimes the Thanksgiving table shrinks over the years.
But Brian, you know, B. Hoyer, who we just had on, thank you, Brian. It was always excellent analysis, and I love his opinions, but he gives you insight that not a lot of people can because of how long he played and the coaches he played for. But he, you know, he said sometimes you can bring a guy in and it can mess up the, you know, the ecosystem.
And Ted, as you would know, like,
I mean, you know, as I would know, right, Brian?
I actually thought it was a light week on those. There was only one or two in there.
Well, yeah, it's all right.
Was it? Maybe you didn't know quite as much about this game.
I guess not. So
we went really quarterback heavy this time around. You know, we're focused more on the offense.
So
one for fun.
I do need to call myself out for some inconsistency, because you know what struck me when we were listening to Brian Hoyer and family and team and reaction? Reaction sparked me, and I'm like, don't we bitch every year about the Red Sox not doing anything at the trade deadline? And then we watch the team in past years when the team didn't do anything go into the crapper, and we wonder, is it just late in the year, or is it a reaction to not being invested in, or we don't like the GM? And I remember being worked up when they brought in Steven Matz and Dustin May, and thinking, they did nothing. This is a young team that's surging, wants to go to the postseason. If you make the right move, maybe you could make some noise in the postseason. And they did nothing. Now, they still made the postseason, and then they made no noise in the postseason because they seemed a little bit undermanned. But that emotion that I felt, Fitzy, why am I not feeling that same emotion today? Because I'm not right now, and I'm calling myself out for it. If I was so angry that Craig Breslow didn't add to Alex Cora's team, why am I not angry that the Patriots didn't add to Mike Vrabel's team?
Because I think you believe Drake May is further along and better than anyone on the Red Sox, and the Patriots as a whole are so much further ahead of schedule than the Red Sox that you'll give them the grace of being inactive at one trade deadline with the rosy future ahead of them. Whereas the Red Sox, like, I don't know, like, it had been, actually, no, it had been the same amount of time. Both teams went to the playoffs in 2021.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, you are a fraud. You should have called them out. You should feel the same, damn it.
Why aren't you a fraud? Why aren't you angrier that they didn't
do was
anything?
Angry, for God's sakes. I'm the one who opened the show and said I wanted them to, you know, I wanted to grab them and be the stick poking meme. And I said at 4 o'clock that I thought this was a disappointment.
You guys are missing the bigger point here. It's not, baseball is very different than football. One player can make a huge impact, you know, for a baseball team. Mm-hmm. One pitcher, one, you know, whatever, big bat, you know, a third, you know, a cornerback or a fourth receiver or a, you know, a backup tackle isn't going to have the same impact as a Joe Ryan would, or you know, somebody, you know, you pick up a bat that you'd pick up at the trade down. It's just a very different sport.
Okay, so I listened very carefully to our segment last week when we all made the argument for what they should trade for that you were victorious in, and you told me they needed an edge rusher, and Trey Hendrickson was available, and the price may or may not have dropped. I don't know exactly, but would Trey Hendrickson have altered the look of the Patriots, their chances to win? Trey Hendrickson, that specific player, let's say you could have gotten him for a third-round pick. Would Trey Hendrickson change your outlook?
What's his term of his contract?
He's going to be a free agent. It's a rental. He is going to be a free agent. And he's been either banged up or rested. I don't know if they've been keeping him on the shelf to keep him healthy or he's really been banged up.
It'd be so hard for me to do that. I'm sorry. I'm playing for the short and the long. It'd be hard for me to go, you know, give up a third for a guy that's a rental. I don't know how much he would impact. Do you win one more game with him?
Like, probably. I think you could win a game. And I think you could win a game in the postseason with him. I think he could make a play in a postseason game that could be the difference between advancing to the next round and going home.
If he had 2 years on his contract, I'd say absolutely.
Is that true for all of them? Like, Breece Hall is the same thing. Breece Hall would be a rental. He's going to be a free agent. Now, as Fitzy pointed out, you do have the ability. For example, with Trey Hendrickson, you could have franchised him at the end of the year if you wanted to.
It is around here. Look at how good Drake May is. How about the coaching of Mike Vrabel? Don't you want to stay here? Finish your career here. We would love to get you fitted for a seventh ring. It'd be your first, sir, but a seventh ring.
There's still a team that's building. You know, it hasn't arrived yet. It's trying to get there, so you're giving away future draft picks when you really can't afford to because you haven't drafted well, and you don't want to be giving up draft picks when you are really, most of your team is filled with mid-level free agents. You need to draft guys and get guys in here that you can develop on cheaper contracts.
I may not be as angry as I feel like I should be, but Brando in the porta potty seems to be upset. What's up, Brando?
Hey, first time, long time. Love you guys so much. But you know what I'm not loving? I'm not loving this deadline. We have 11 picks that we can pick from to trade for one or two different players. We can trade up in the draft later. Right now, it's a matter of doing something with a team that is 7-2 and trying to further our position in the playoffs once we get there. I understand we didn't expect to be there, but, like, come on. Like, we should have done something.
Thanks for the call, Brando.
Who got better than us on this trade deadline?
Colts.
Colts are better than us? Okay, so you'd pick the Colts over the Patriots right now.
No, you said gut better. Oh, wait. What was the question?
Who got better than the Patriots? What teams are competing with the Patriots that are now better than you after the trade deadline?
I think you can make an argument for the Colts, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the team just got killed by the Steelers that you should have beaten with five turnovers.
Yeah, but they turned it over like five times, too. So it was sort of a similar loss for them.
The Colts are good. Go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
The team I would throw in real quick, Fitzy, I think the Chargers addressing their O-line was an interesting addition to try to help out with some of the injuries they have going on there.
Well, that's Jim Harbaugh 101 right there.
They got some guys?
Yeah, they got a lineman.
A lineman who's started games. I know it's for the Saints, but...
Okay. Yeah. Lose Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, you lose two potential All-Pros. You've got to do something.
Kind of more my point.
That was a necessary move. That was a borderline.
Harbaugh can't even do anything resembling his style of ball there.
Can we just, like, you want to compare it to, we're talking about baseball. Did the Yankees do something at the trade deadline that made them, because, like, at least on paper, better than what you thought the Red Sox did?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what about Seattle?
Yes.
What about Detroit?
Absolutely.
What about Detroit?
Toronto.
What about what about Houston? Mm-hmm. Toronto. Yeah. I don't think you can look at a lot of teams in the AFC and go, oh, they clearly got better than the Reds or the Patriots. Oh, they got way better than the Patriots. It's a different sport. It's a different way of doing things. It's just not the same impact from the two sports. So that's the argument I'd make.
All right, 617-779-7937. We'll continue to react to the trade deadline where the Patriots did nothing. They stood pat, and now they head towards a very big game on Sunday in Tampa Bay against the Buccaneers. Coming up on The Drive at 5, we'll get some of the reactions to the trade deadline. Who likes it? Who doesn't like it? How big a deal will this be when we get to January? Are we going to be looking back on this day and think this had a major impact in the results of the season? That's up next on The Drive here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.